Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. I'm reading from Luke chapter 12, from verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you. Would you please be seated? Okay. Good. You might not want to hear me, actually, but might be better if I just read the Bible. But thank you for the opportunity of preaching. It's more than 5 years since I preached anywhere, and I used to preach a lot, but I haven't for the last 5 years, and so this is something I'm very pleased to do. It's a great opportunity to share God's word and to see what he wants to say to us today. One of the things which this reading reminds us of is the issue, the controversial issue of wills and inheritance. I don't know whether any of you have been caught up in any of those disputes, whether you had family disputes over wills and over who's going to get the inheritance, but they're certainly not unusual. There's a recent case in the Telegraph, which is a newspaper I don't read, but of a 15-year-old family feud over an inheritance which wiped the whole inheritance out and left the son with a £100,000 legal bill. People get very het up about inheritance and wills. So the old line says, where there's a will, there's a relative. And that's probably true. Jesus here is with a crowd of many thousands. In verse 12:1 it says, a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another. I don't see that this morning. But Jesus began to speak first to his disciples. And then someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." It was common for rabbis to be asked to settle legal disputes. But Jesus refuses to do that. "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" And he goes on to talk about greed and possessions, not what that man was really expecting. So four main points from this. And the first one is to beware of greed. Watch out, be on your guard against all kind of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. I grew up in a very similar church to the kind of church that David Buncaster grew up in and Mandy grew up in a Pentecostal church. And there was a well-known missionary who visited us once and stayed in our home. He was called Willie Burton, W.F.P. Burton, and I don't know whether you know that name. But he was a remarkable man who gave up a very important career here and went to the Belgian Congo, as it was then. And he and a friend, they established thousands of churches in Congo. But he stayed with us in our home when I was probably about 8 or 9. And when he was getting ready to go, he stood in the hall and he'd got a little suitcase with him, a small one. And he said, "This is all my possessions. I've got my paints in here," because he was an artist. "I've got my clothes, but that's everything I have. I don't have a house, but I have homes all over the world." And that stayed with me then. You know, that's what an approach to life that is. It's the opposite of the greed that looks to amass wealth and show off wealth, but to be content with what God has given to us. The second thing in this story is we need to be careful about our planning for the future. We are surrounded by people wanting to take our money from us and invest it and plan for the future. And if you watch daytime TV at all, which I'm sure you don't, and you see all sorts of adverts for those sort of things. But he said, "This is what I will do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll call Mike Bennett. He'll build some bigger ones for me." Not any longer. "And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." That was an old Greek saying, wasn't it? "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." And that's how many people live. But that's not how Jesus calls us to live for the future. Our futures are uncertain. There are no guarantees. God said to this man, "You fool, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself?" The thing is, you can't take it with you, can you? It's easily said, but not easily lived up to by many people. You look at what's going on the other side of the Atlantic at the moment and the emphasis on wealth in the billions. Not the thousands or the millions, but the billions. And I can't get my head around that. That is how so many people live or aspire to. But our futures are uncertain. There are no guarantees. God said, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself?" On Friday, we went to a Thanksgiving service for an old friend who died from a brain tumor a few weeks ago. And it came as a shock, not her death, but her getting the illness. You know, it sort of came out of the blue. She was ill for a few months, had an operation which worked initially and then didn't. But then, that was it. She's with the Lord, which is far better, as they used to say. But that's not how everybody sees it. So our futures are uncertain. There are no guarantees. We don't know whether we've got a tomorrow. We don't know whether we've got a today. You can't take it with you, so why focus on what we've got now and what we might have in the future? So Jesus tells them to focus on the most important things. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. What does it mean to be rich toward God? Does that come into your thinking? Or do you just think in terms of your pension and your investments, or lack of them? What is your focus? Is it on possessions and wealth, or on your relationship with God? Sometimes we need a jolt, don't we, to remind us to spring into action and to change things. And maybe that's what this is about for you this morning. Maybe it's about saying, look, have I been focusing on the wrong things? Am I distracted? I don't know whether you remember the story of Mary and Martha, which we had recently, I think. And Jesus said, you're distracted by many things. And it's very easy to be distracted like that. But we need to focus on the most important things. Not store up things for ourselves, but be rich towards God. So where is your focus? Is it on possessions and wealth, or on your relationship with God? It's a brief prayer. Father, we thank you for this story, this parable. Thank you for the example which Jesus gave us. Please help us to be rich toward you, for that to be the focus of our life, our relationship with you, and our riches toward you. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
Well, thank you, Emily. That was lovely. Much appreciated. A lot to think about.